Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And a very good morning to you just after 10 o'clock on this Saturday morning. A big thank you to Mark Holland for coming in and filling in for me last week. That was a good time to be with my family. We did my mother's memorial last weekend. So I was with all of my nieces and nephews and great nieces and nephews, and we were celebrating the life of my mom. So I wanted to thank Mark for stepping in, and I know he'll be doing that a couple more times this year as well. We have a full studio. We are live and the doctors are ready to talk with you. We have Dr. Ken Pentland. Good morning, Dr. Pentland.
Good morning.
Yes, and you've got something exciting you're going to tell us about going on at our longevity clinics. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Also, Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio and Dr. Samira Umat. So look at that. Everybody is in the studio. And what should we dive into first, Dr. Mixon.
Well, you started by talking about last week's show a little
bit. You wanted to clarify
something. BRCA and the HERS2 genes.
Yeah. Okay. What did I miss last week?
Well, we had a couple of phone calls from people. One who had a BRAC.
BRCA.
Why do I keep mixing that up? BRCA 2. Gene who
and what is that for? What is that?
In women, it gives them a very high risk of breast cancer, a 99% chance of getting breast cancer in their life. This was a man, however, who had developed a prostate cancer but was positive. And so, okay, his question was, you know, what is the impact? How do I treat this differently? And I'd tell him I had never seen a study on it. I wasn't sure much research had been done, but it would make me nervous because the things that cause and promote breast cancer and prostate cancer are very similar. They seem to have very common etiologies. But then I went home and explored a bit, and I found a couple of papers on prostate cancer with this particular mutation. And it turns out it is a nastier, more aggressive cancer. So it has worse outcomes, which means you need to be more aggressive with it than you would with a normal genome. Also found, just totally ancillary, that we are now identifying about five other genes that also promote familial incidence of prostate and breast cancer. And there's being whole genome analysis done. Mm. And hopefully here within the next few years, we'll be able to do a genome and tell you what your cancer risks are looking at prostate, breast, colon, et cetera, which will be just fascinating, you know, because then people will know in advance what we need to look for. But not quite yet. The other call was a person who apparently was concerned about HERS2. HERS2 is a protein, and breast cancer victims who have a high expression of HERS2 protein have far more aggressive cancers. They tend to spread earlier and are nastier growing. The good news about HERS2, though, in breast cancer is that in part because it's growing fast and turning over quickly, it is more responsive to chemotherapy than the low HERS. So it's a mixed bag. Yes, it grows faster, spreads sooner, and yet responds better to therapy. The question, his question, though, was how does this relate to prostate cancer? Since he, being an older man, he had a prostate. And once more, I was not aware of research, but I went home and delved into the literature and indeed found that, yes, there is research on HERS to prostate cancers. And once more, those do tend to be more aggressive, faster-growing tumors, but they also respond to androgen ablation therapies very nicely. So kind of a mixed bag. So I learned some stuff as a result of the calls last
right.
week.
But you also talked about how to prevent.
How to prevent and how to improve your survival from all cancers. But specifically, I was looking for prostate and breast cancer because those were the ones related to those particular genes that we had calls about. So I delved back into the material, and this was very timely because these are some subjects that I had touched on tangentially in the book that I'm just finishing up. And I actually went back this week as a result of my reading and changed some of the numbers in my book.
Because,
cool. Yeah. Well, because it turns out that the major thrust of the book is that we have two different compounds, two different things in our body that are essentially at war. One of them trying to kill us, and that is fat. You know, fat is not a cosmetic issue. For as a doctor, I don't care about your fat, but I care about it because of what it does to you. Fat produces pro-cancer, pro-inflammation, pro-dementia, pro-diabetes, a whole host of compounds that promote disease and cancer formation and accelerate cancer growth. Contrary to that, we now know that working muscle produces more than 300 different products that impact our immune system and make our immune system better able to find and kill cancer, as well as products that help us to grow new brain tissue and clean out our arteries and make our nerves function better, help our hearts, our lungs, our kidneys function better. So what we're finding is working muscle, exercise, working muscle is incredibly beneficial to prevent and to help cure cancer. And so the new numbers I wanted to share with our listeners are these, okay? If you are overweight, if you've got more body fat than you should have, you have increased your risk of liver and gallbladder cancer by over 50%, 51%. If you are overweight, you have increased your risk of esophageal cancers, which are very nasty cancers, by 49.5%. Mm. You have increased your risk of uterine cancers by 30%+. You've increased your risk of breast cancer by more than 20%. And you have increased your risk of prostate cancer by about 25%. And the prostate cancers you're likely to get if you're overweight tend to be more aggressive, spread faster, and tend to kill you quicker. So overweight is turning out to be an incredibly dangerous condition for dementia, diabetes, heart disease, osteoarthritis, and cancer. On the other hand, working muscle, muscle mass, the more muscle you've got and the more intensely and frequently it's worked, are producing those 300 different myokines. And it turns out that men with the most aggressive forms of prostate cancer increase their survival by over 50% with vigorous exercise. Women with breast cancer who start their exercise after they have the cancer, not as a preventive, increase their survival by 60%. And let me put a finer touch on those numbers. When you're diagnosed with cancer is not when you got the cancer. Cancer begins as one single cell that undergoes a mutation, and then it doubles and doubles again and doubles again and doubles again. But you have to get tens of millions of those cells together for it to be big enough for us to find your tumor. So if you're newly diagnosed with breast cancer, you didn't just get breast cancer. You had breast cancer for 3 to 7 years, depending on the doubling time of that tumor. The average woman who is diagnosed with breast cancer has already had the disease 3 to 7 years without knowing about it. And yet, starting exercise after the diagnosis, when that tumor has been around for a long time, increases her survival by 60%.
Wow. That's incredible.
That tells you that that working muscle is kicking out chemicals and compounds that boost your immune response, so your immune response can go in and find and kill cancer cells to the extent that you got a 60% improvement in your survival.
Wow.
And the same process is true for men. If you get diagnosed with prostate cancer, you didn't just get it this week or this month. You've had it for years. But even then, taking up a new exercise program will help you to survive. You have less pain, you have less disability, the tumor slows down its growth, and your survival increases by more than 50%. Those high numbers are with 3 hours or more of vigorous physical activity a day. Any exercise helps. Moderate exercise improves your survival between 20 to 30%, but vigorous exercise, 50 to 60% improves survival. Vigorous exercise, 3 hours a week, though, is pretty tough. That's doing something really heavy like lifting weights or running or bicycling up hills without an electric motor.
Oh, boy.
Now, personally, I cannot run for 3 hours a week because if I'm really running instead of just jogging, 30 minutes is about my limit. I'm 76 years old. I cannot run
still,
for more than 30 minutes.
That's pretty good, yes. We're sense. All in awe.
30 minutes of running is pretty impressive.
And at the end of 30 minutes, I am totally exhausted. I mean, I've got to go lay down. I'm gasping and panting, and there's a trail of sweat running behind me in the trail. I mean, it looks like I'm trying to outrun the river. I can't do that more than 3 times a week. Because if I push myself that hard, I've got to have a day or two to rest. My body will not put up with a 30-minute run more than 3 times a week at the max. And so that's an hour and a half. How do I get my 3 hours in? Well, it turns out that resistance training, lifting weights, pushing, pulling, moving heavy weights is more effective than aggressive anaerobic training. So you actually get better results from weightlifting than you do from running.
Whoa, okay.
So 30 minutes 3 times a week of weightlifting and 3 times a week of running would get me my 3 hours a week of vigorous physical activity. I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
I can't run 6 hours or 3 hours a week, but I can split it in half and do half and half.
Right. That's good. Right, and others can, you know, find whatever works best for them. You could certainly do 3 hours of resistance training if you chose to, but
I couldn't.
But somebody
else
might
be able to move my arms.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact is, you do what you can do,
right?
And whatever you can do on any given day without pain is the right amount to do. And you can't start out, you know, to say, "Oh my God, how do I get my vigorous?" You can't start off with vigorous.
Right.
Start off with what you can do comfortably without getting sore.
Exactly.
And you work it up, and you work it up, and work it up.
Okay.
And over the period of 3 to 4 months, you should be able to push hard.
Yeah.
But give yourself the time.
All right. Oh, good information, Dr. Mixon. What a way to start off the show. Let me give you the phone number in case you would like to call in and you have questions about this topic or another topic today, maybe a diagnosis or some health issues that you are dealing with. We would love to talk with you. We are live in the studio with three doctors today for Leading Edge Medicine. Here's the number. It's 206-644-6006. The number again is 206-644-6006. We're going to be back and we're going to talk about something the stars and the athletes used to do, probably still do, but now you can do it too and at a fraction of the cost. And it's good for you. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Stay close.
And Mr. Engineer, pull up All My Old Flames Have New Names.
Oh, okay.
We should be doing line dances for this one.
Here we go. Yes.
Woo! Next longevity outing.
2 years ago and moved on up to Idaho, but swore that I'd be back again. Pick up where I left off, old man. Left behind some lovely ladies, grown up sexy Texas babies. I got back in town tonight, anticipating much delight. I pulled out my black book and called up my old lovers. Well, I got 5 newlyweds and 2 expected mothers.
Oh, all my old flames have new names. Right. Oh, boy. Right. Just for you, Dr. Mixon.
With some of my old flames, they've all got new names.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He goes through and he categorizes each one of his old lovers. You know,
okay.
He said, the wildest lover of my life is now a federal judge's wife.
Oh, boy. Oh, thank you, Mike the engineer, for doing that for us. Oh, we appreciate it. Hey, we are live in the studio, and boy, are we live today with 3 doctors, Dr. Pentland, Dr. Umat, and Dr. Mixon. I all have dancing shoes on today, too. And if you have a question, we'd love to have you call in. Phone lines are open. Right now, be part of the show with your questions at 206-644-6006. All right, something new that I know the doctors at Longevity are very excited about is IV vitamin therapy.
Introducing.
So, Dr. Pentland, why don't you tell us about this and what we can do to make this happen, and why is this a good thing for us?
Well, it's a great way to replenish, rehydrate, revitalize. It's great for feeling and looking younger. It helps boost energy, mental clarity, support immune system.
Mm.
We're basically adding things like magnesium, calcium, B vitamins, you know, riboflavin, pantothenic acid, B12, and vitamin C directly to the bloodstream.
Right into the bloodstream.
Right.
So if somebody is already taking this, this is a big boost, like right away.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, we've toyed with the idea for a very long time, and recently we decided to go ahead and take the plunge. But Dr. Mixon and I want to always make sure that we're doing the right things, and for several reasons, we had put the program on hold a couple of years ago. The back end of it is that we have to have a hood and a sterile area to be able to mix IVs and put them in the right proportions in the fluids. We have to have the right training for the staff. It's not just any medical assistant. It has to be a medical assistant with IV training. The naturopathic physicians who perform it also have to have IV training. Mm-hmm. Certainly any MD can do it because it is part of their training, but any other provider, they really have to have specialized training for this. And then a few years ago, there were some restrictions into using IV vitamins, and the trouble was that pharmacies were providing multivial doses, which were being used for multiple patients, and hence the risk of infection was increasing. And so the government was cutting back on that, and we stepped back to just see where things were going. And now what we're doing, which is very unique to us and maybe others, but for us especially, we're very, very careful. We don't buy multi-dose vials, meaning we buy 1 vitamin vial per patient. So what we give you is exclusive for you, and we choose it based on what you want from us. And right now, we've kept our portfolio small just because we are catering to a very niche area. We'll expand it and we'll do more things later on as more need is available, as we see more need from the clients. But right now, each vial is designed and bought specially from the pharmacy for 1 patient. And hence, we want to make sure it's sterile. We have a sterile hood where it is mixed appropriately within the bag. We're very careful about these small issues that, you know, people going to other places may not be aware of. Certainly, it's a very safe treatment to perform, but to make sure that you do have the right credentials, you want to make sure that your physicians who are doing it are trained. We have special equipment, emergency equipment, AEDs, and all of that in our clinic so that we cater in case there is an odd patient that does have a problem. And that's why it's taken us a little bit longer than any other practice to kind of get into this. We wanted to make sure we had our I's dotted and our T's crossed. And right now, we have a very reputable pharmacy in the industry that makes these compounds. Like I said, they are for each individual patient, one vial, so that we don't mix dosing and mix vials. And we have a hood. We have our team of physicians in the Kirkland Clinic that have been trained to perform these procedures. And so I feel very confident and very comfortable, and I am a strong believer in IV therapies for patients who are experiencing dehydration, nausea, vomiting, GI issues. They can't get enough vitamins in. They can't swallow them, so they don't have enough nourishment in. Mm. And these are the indications for getting some more therapy. Summer months, you know, you don't drink enough water, you feel dry or dehydrated. Our patients who've had this treatment really report an improvement in energy and stamina and endurance. So far, I've been very happy with the results that we have seen and very confident and moving forward that we will expand the services. Now, again, this is available to all longevity patients, but also to all radio show listeners that are not longevity patients. So what you do is book an appointment, come in for a visit with Dr. Pentland. He will do a quick medical evaluation, and then he will be the one starting the IV therapies.
Also really good for prevention or, you know, after a respiratory infection recovery.
Oh, wow. Going on a trip. Before you go on a trip, you want to get hydrated, or you get sick and you want to get some fluids before, you know, while you're recovering.
What about the other end? Is it useful? You come back jet lagged.
Sure. Oh.
You know, I mean, my family, we go to Asia or Europe and we come back, you know, with a 15-hour time change.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So it's going to support energy. It's going to support immune function. It's going to help rehydrate the cells. So,
that's good.
Yeah. So when my wife gets back from China at the end of December, I'll send her right in.
That'll be her first stop the next day. Now, how long does a session take to do this?
A plan at least 45 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And it's $199 for IV.
Okay, and I think the answer is no, but I'm going to ask anyway. Are there any side effects that you might, like if you were going to do this on your lunch break and you go back to work, or anything you need to watch for?
Well, again, it depends. So if it's a brand new patient and they have never, ever done it before, I would probably say allow a little bit extra time. Usually young people don't really have any problems. We're watching for congestive heart failure and issues like that. So, you know, a short answer is yes, a problem can arise, but we are watching and we are careful and we have protocols set in place. So allow extra time, but the treatment itself is a one-hour visit, 15 minutes spent doing the consultation, and then the therapy itself, 45 minutes, so an hour visit in our clinic.
See, Lynette, I'm shocked that you had forgotten Dr. Mixon's first rule.
Let's see. Dr. Mixon's first rule
is... What is Dr. Mixon's first rule?
Anything that can help can hurt. Anything good enough to help you is also good enough to... Yeah, okay.
If anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt.
There is
always a downside to every decision we make in medicine.
Okay.
You know, if you're doing something as simple as a venipuncture, you know, it's just... drawing blood. Mm-hmm. You've put a needle through the skin into the vein, and you know, the vein can leak. You can get some bleeding. You can get bruises. There's always some risk of everything done in medicine.
Okay.
That's just the real world.
There you go. Good to know. All right. So if you are interested in more energy and would like to get hydrated and replenished, rehydrated, revitalized, ask for the IV vitamin therapy. And the introductory price for our radio listeners and non-longevity patients. So, yeah, anybody can do this. You just have to call up and make an appointment. It's only $199. So there you go. Here's the number to call. For that, it's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. We're going to take a break and then back with your calls. And the phone lines are wide open right now. You can get in with your questions with the doctors at 206-644-6262. 6006. Again, the number is 206-644-6006. We'll be right back. For you today, and we heard yesterday that one of the founding members of the Eagles, 76-year-old Randy Meisner, had passed away.
Yep.
So there you go, another.
But the music persists.
There you go.
You know, we haven't given up on the Beatles just because most of them are dead and gone.
Yeah, I think we've got one or two left.
The Eagles are still around.
Yes, they are.
They shall last longer than me. That's all that matters. Once I'm gone, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics.
Did you, by any chance, go to Taylor Swift's concert?
I did not.
Oh, my gosh.
But 72,000 other people were.
That.
Oh, I would have been there.
How much were tickets? Tickets were thousands of dollars.
I have no idea. I didn't know there were 72,000 people could afford $1,000 tickets for one evening.
Can you imagine? Yeah, they did. Apparently, a lot more.
And I didn't know if it was 72,000 combined with both of her shows or two shows with, I didn't know how many at the Climate
Pledge. She probably
Pledge.
Packed the whole.
Okay, oh, she probably
I
did.
I think the highest grossing female
ever.
Actress or star.
Star, you know, yep.
But good okay. for
and,
her.
And she loves Seattle. She loves Seattle.
Well, she
really
says that
does.
Wherever she
well,
goes.
Yeah, see,
I believe it.
72,000 people at an average of $1,500 a piece is what? $9 million, $10 million?
No, the gross earnings were running into billions, Jerry.
Just of that Seattle
for the one show.
Show.
One show in Seattle. I'd try to walk $10 million for one night's work.
Wow. Well, you put some pink hot pants on there, Dr. Mixon, and some sparkles.
Or you're gonna have go to, into a field.
You're going to have to pay me a significant fraction of that to put on pink pants and sparkles.
Okay. You know, well, she is an artist that my daughters and I agree on. I just am in awe that she can reinvent herself.
Yeah.
It starts out as a little country girl singing with her braids and then really writing some songs
I know.
And pop
always about heartbreak.
Yes. Yes. And
she's amazing.
And she's
I
still
really think
going
she's amazing.
Strong.
Yeah.
And yes, I have a lot of respect for her. So
I do too.
There you go.
No, I did not go to the concert and
we'll
I
go
don't
next
really
time.
Listen to her, but I have a lot of respect.
There you go. Yeah, I'll sing one of her songs a little bit later on. We'll get Mean Girl. Mean.
Ooh.
All you gotta do, yeah. All you gotta be is mean. I know all the words to that. Okay, so we have some phone callers on the line. If you'd like to get through to 206-644-6006. We would love to hear from you today. If your grandkids went to that Taylor Swift concert, let us know. 206-644-6006.
And if you took them and danced, that's even more.
That's right. We'd love to hear from you. We are going to Covington. We have Leroy on the line. Hi there, Leroy. Good morning.
Good morning. I was curious about Dr. Mixon's numbers regarding vigorous exercise and reduction in cancer. Are those numbers relative values or absolute values?
Those are increase in survival. Okay, so like normally 10% of the people from a given tumor at a given stage would die. Then a 60% or 60% improvement in survival would say 4 out of those 10 died instead of 10 dying.
Mm.
So those are wonderful numbers. I mean, it's dramatic. And it's obviously...
You know, Leroy, let me have you turn your radio down or off.
Yeah,
we're getting a little static and feedback. Sorry to interrupt there.
Yeah. You know, but it varies from tumor to tumor. You know, breast cancer and prostate cancer were two of the best results. They were up to 60% improved survival. Some of the other cancers, like pancreatic cancer, it was much lower. You had like a 15-18% increased survival. So it depends in part on how aggressive and at what stage we tend to find the tumors. Pancreatic and ovarian cancers, we tend not to find till they're already stage 3 and 4.
Mm.
You know, prostate cancers, we find most of them very early. Breast cancers are found at moderate, you know, early. I mean, a T1 tumor in a breast cancer is less than 2 centimeters in diameter at its widest point. So, you know, a T2 is anything over 2, and then your T3 gets over, you know, 5. So T3 starts to invade the chest wall and so on. So if you're working with a breast cancer that invades the chest wall and is already spread and you've got it in bone and brain, yeah, your survival's going way down. But they're looking overall, breast cancer, new diagnosis, vigorous physical activity to 3 or more hours per week, a 60% increase in your chances of survival. That's pretty impressive.
So those would be more of an absolute terms then?
Yes, yeah. Well, okay. I mean, it's relative to the unexercised survival rate. I mean, the average survival rate, and then we get much better with the exercise. So sure.
You know, I think what happens is when people get a diagnosis of a cancer or they're worried about it, a lot of times they become less active because of the implications of the cancer and the lesion itself and the chronic illness. And the message here is that's the opposite we want you to do. We do want you to still remain active, still remain engaged, and focus on building muscle. And your personal statistic will be way different than this. This is an aggregate. It's an average. It's a bell-shaped curve.
That's right.
But your personal response will depend upon where you're at right now.
Right. But, for both breast and prostate cancer, exercise dramatically lowers the incidence of the disease, too. Okay, and weight loss lowers the incidence. Mm-hmm. You know, an overweight woman is 20% more likely to get breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the heavier she are, the higher her risk. That's overweight. Obese gets nearly to 30%. Mm-hmm. But a sedentary overweight woman is even higher. Mm-hmm. An exercising overweight woman can cut her risk of getting breast cancer by about 40% or so.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we had a drug, a pill you could take that would lower your risk of breast cancer of getting breast cancer by 40%, mm-hmm. and if you got it, improve your survival by 60%, mm-hmm. and it was the same pill. Mm-hmm. People would flock.
You know, you do it. Yes, no matter what the cost.
But instead of a pill,
it's exercise.
It's lose weight and exercise. Mm-hmm. It's lifestyle change, and that will give us the kind of results that you couldn't dream of with medication.
Yeah.
So yeah, if America wants to cut our health care expenses, we're not going to cut the expenses by shifting around who pays the bill. Having the taxpayers pay it instead of you paying it doesn't help any. It's still the same amount of money getting spent. Okay, the way we want to lower healthcare costs in this country is to get lean and fit. Mm. Then we can probably cut our overall healthcare expense in this country by about 50%.
Mm. Wow. I've been listening on social media a lot lately about perimenopausal and postmenopausal women gaining weight, and talks about, you know, hormonal imbalance, insulin resistance, and so on and so forth. And the same thing applies to them. Weight gain at a certain age, for whatever reason, is not an excuse to not work out. And sometimes we, me included, we make excuses like, you know, there's no time or there's so many other things to do. Well, your health has to be a priority because your quality of life and how long you live depends upon it. Mm-hmm. And so, as Dr. Mixon mentioned in the last show just now, make yourself a priority. And if you do that, then these things will become natural to you.
My somewhat cynical mother once told me, Jerry, look out for yourself, because no one's going to care as much about you as you do.
Sure. I tell my patients that all the time.
Yeah. But the fact is, if you care more about your vacation than you do a long, healthy life, well, then go on your vacation. Spend the money there instead of at longevity. You know, if your car is more important to you than your body, you make a choice. If your body is more important to your car, then you make a different choice. And, you know, Longevity Medical Clinic is the least expensive clinic in the country that does our comprehensive program. Everybody else charges a lot more than we do. There are now longevity clinics out there charging $100,000 a year, for God's sake. The average is up around 40,000. And, you know, our average patient, all included, our fees, supplements, prescriptions, lab, the works, runs between $6,000 and $6,500.
That's per year.
Per year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Per year.
So, you know, about $500 to $600 a month, about the same as a car payment. And if you are not worth $500 a month, well, you valued your own life, because mm-hmm. the odds are you're going to get slow, fat, weak, dumb, sexless, and die young. But first, you're going to be crippled. You're going to be maimed, crippled, and then die. I think that's a bad idea.
I'd
rather you came to longevity and were strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, happy, and lived a long, active, vigorous, joy-filled life.
Remember, Jerry, when we first started talking about type 2 diabetes and we started mentioning that we can reverse diabetes, do you remember how scared I used to be when you used to say that?
Yes, you were. And now you've seen it happen over and over and over.
Yeah, and now everybody's saying it.
Yes. You know, when I first claimed that I could reverse type 2 diabetes, I had colleagues who were just outraged that I was making such a, you know, ludicrous claim. It can't be done. Yes, it can, and now everybody knows it. I was only 20 years ahead of the curve.
Wow. Only 20 years. We'll take it, Dr. Mixon.
That's my goal. I want to stay 20 years ahead of the curve. The stuff I'm doing now, I want the rest of the country to be doing 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. let me tell you a political fantasy of mine.
Nope. I'm thinking that's going to take a little longer than 20
Not really.
Seconds.
No, well, yeah.
Well, could
seconds.
We take a quick break?
Yes. Come back, and I'm going to give you my fantasy.
Okay, Dr. Mixon's fantasy. Dr. Umat and I will go get tea.
It's quasi-G-rated, so you don't have to cover the ears of the
You
children.
Never know. You never know. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, and Dr. Ken Pentland in the studio today. And we welcome your calls. Phone lines are wide open for you. Here is the number to call right now, 206-644-6006. We'd love to talk with you. 206-644-6006. We'll be right back.
This is, again...
There you go.
Line dancing.
There you go. Yes.
That's right. Next.
And I'm a Cajun food now. Why is this? Louisiana.
When was the last time you ate alligator?
Oh, boy. You know, we have a place.
Never.
Yeah. Alligator sausage.
I had alligator tail etouffee, but it was in Breckenridge, so I don't know if it was good or not.
You've been talking about sharks and alligators today.
I know. We're getting all of the animals in.
I was at a meeting down in New Orleans recently.
New Orleans.
New Orleans is where you're going to get alligator sausage.
That's right.
Yummy.
Stick. Alligator, anything, anywhere. We're waiting for that next call. You can call right now and get through at 206-644-6006. That is the number to call with your questions. Now, Dr. Pentland, you are excited about something going on at Longevity Medical Clinic, and it's about the Viasure, which is for one particular reason, but you found another way to really help people with this.
Right. We're talking about the use of Viasure for BPH, benign prostate hyperplasia or hypertrophy. Right. So, you know, I was learning a lot about this recently, and I was thinking I wanted to share this story because it would help a lot of guys out.
Yes.
We received a call from a 70-year-old gentleman. He was interested in getting sound wave therapy, Viasure therapy, for his BPH, which was severely slowing his urinary system.
Okay.
His urinary stream was slower. He said he felt like he was almost completely obstructed. His physician was said basically he had two choices, get some kind of widening procedure like a Rezūm or a prostate artery embolization, right? When he didn't want either of those.
Okay, yes.
So he said there was a clinic in Southern California that was doing this kind of treatment for sound wave therapy, and he sent me some information, a journal article, some websites. I looked over the information. I saw there was some investigation to be done because their machine was different than our machine.
Okay. And so, and you haven't used that for this purpose before, right?
We haven't. ViaSure? We've been using the ViaSure for erectile function pretty successfully, but we never used it for this specifically. And so came up with some analogous settings for our machine based on the literature and performed the normal erectile function treatment, but then added on the extra treatment allotted to the prostate, right?
Okay.
Well, the results were excellent.
Wonderful.
The article that he sent me, they used an international prostate symptom score survey before and after treatment for patients. So we did the same. And to track symptoms, a high score means worse symptoms and a low score means better symptoms.
Okay.
So with a max score of 35, his symptom score dropped from 27 down to 8 in six sessions.
Wow. Okay. So one more time. 27 means out of a maximum of 35 means that his prostate was quite limited in function and he reported those symptoms. And with six treatments, he was able to lower that score from 27 to
8.
8.
19
wow.
points in
wow.
34
wow.
days.
And how does that compare to the average patient?
Right. So the article that they're talking about was actually the average is a little bit less. So I think the average improvement was about 11 points.
Okay.
Wow.
So
which is still good.
But this is quite a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So the sound wave therapy for prostate enlargement in this one patient gave us excellent results.
Excellent results. And I think part of that is because of the machine that we use. The machine in the article is a radial distribution sound wave machine. And it's our machine uses what's called soft wave technology. So it's a little bit different in how it distributes the sound waves.
Mm, okay.
So, you know, our machine is one of the few FDA-cleared low-intensity electrohydraulic acoustic wave platforms in North America. And they found that the amplitude and the pressure of the wave, including the timing and the energy density, are all very important in producing optimal therapeutic effects, right? So just a little bit about how it works. The acoustic pressure that compresses and extends the target tissue over a short period of time with each pulse. It's a process called mechanotransduction, and it activates cellular membranes and proteins and even activates the receptors in the nucleus of the cell. And the soft wave acts differently compared to like an ultrasound or this radial pressure machine. Our device, because the wave shape is a broader treatment area, it expands the wave in an elliptical pattern, ensuring optimum coverage and depth.
Now, is there pain involved with this? It's sound waves, not shock waves, so it's much milder.
Right.
What did your patients say to you?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because the radial pressure, the radial sound wave pattern, you can only go so high on the energy because it's very focused at the surface, but dissipates quickly when it goes deep into the tissue. Mm-hmm. So you can't use a high energy because you risk tissue damage. Therefore, you can't get a significant depth or, you know, sometimes not high enough. The device they used in the article obviously had good effects, but I think one of the reasons we had better effects was because the soft wave elliptical wave shape of the sound waves was able to cover a wider area and go deeper with higher energy, higher pressure, but no risk of tissue damage or very risky.
Okay, so our device allowed you to use a higher intensity treatment. Mm-hmm. It penetrated deeper, therefore got better results, did not cause any damage, and patient tolerance was good just because it's a different type of device.
Right.
So, you know, like it's comparing apples to oranges. They're both fruit, but the fruit is different.
With the radial pressure, radial sound wave machine, they often have to numb the patient.
Right.
Because it can sting, be painful.
Right. And we have said that before for our ED treatments, our patients don't have to be numbed at all.
They don't have to be numbed.
So this is a different technology, same type of thing, but a different device, a better device,
if you will. Yeah, reduced pain, minimal side effects, a wider treatment range, fewer treatments needed, and better outcomes.
Oh, great. Wow. So for patients who are listening into this, we can combine this with ED treatments, or we can do it as a standalone for prostate health. Right. Either one. Either way, patients will have to come in for a consultation with one of our providers, and then the providers will determine whether they are appropriate candidates or not. Correct?
This procedure can be done at all three clinics.
Uh-huh.
And I think the cost is about $1,850 for the standalone prostate
service. And price drops if it is part of the ED treatment.
Correct.
And the protocol is the same, once a week or once every 2 weeks for a minimum of 6 treatments, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So all three longevity clinics, so happy to hear the success that you have shared with us, Dr. Pendleton. I know that there are other patients who are interested and are asking, and I want to confirm that this is for any radio show listener, also not just for longevity patients. Yeah. Obviously, we'll treat any longevity patient, yeah, but any radio show listener who is not a longevity patient but is interested in prostate health, wanting to improve outcomes of urinary flow, can look into this with one of our doctors.
Yeah, the patient responded with improved intermittency, so less stopping and starting.
Okay.
And improved complete bladder emptying. Those were the improvements he saw most.
Those are good things to report.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Very good. We have just a couple minutes before the top of the hour where we have to take a break. And I wanted to give you our phone number once again. We have plenty of room for you on our phone lines to call in with your questions at 206-644-6006. The number again is 206-644-6006. Maybe you're out enjoying the weather or listening online as you're taking a walk. Hey, you can give us a call. We would love to talk with you if you've got a diagnosis that you're dealing with, maybe something that you're unsure about. Please give us a call, 206-644-6006. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.